I invite you to turn your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, page 169 in your Red Pew Bibles. I encourage you to follow along with this. It is good to be back in the pulpit. I want to say thank you to George Fletcher, who's off preaching at another church today. It fit nicely that he was available last Sunday. He called me, and he called me like Wednesday and just said, "Hey, you want me to preach on Sunday?" And I said, "I was just getting ready to text you." So I'm so grateful. We're so blessed to have people like George and Peggy in our church. And then after what our family had been through, I didn't feel like, oh, let's come back and it's normal. Let's jump into Luke again and continue on. Because I had experienced some emotions that I'd never had before. Diana and I had some discussions that we had never had before. And I know that many of you have been through some of those grief-filled emotions and discussions. But I stand here this morning just to thank God and so grateful to God for Kara's recovery. But during the past few weeks, there were some important things as I look back on this time, some important things that I recognize and that I'm grateful for that helped to sustain me through this period. And I just thought, you know, man, I need to share this with the people at Beaver Dam. And I was led to Joshua chapter 1, and it's a picture where Joshua is now pegged by God to lead the nation Israel into the promised land. Moses has died, and Joshua was his aide, and I mean, you know who Moses was, and God says, "Hey, I want you to lead the people into the promised land. And lead them going forward." And I can imagine Joshua was just like, "What?" You know. And so we're gonna look through and see what these couple verses here, what God has to say to Joshua. So Joshua chapter 1, starting in verse 1. Let's pray before we begin. Okay, Father God, we thank you. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that moves in our life, in our hearts, and opens up our minds and our hearts. Because, Lord, sometimes we come into worship, we just live our life our own way. We've been doing it for years, and that's just what we know that works best for us. But, Lord, sometimes we are blind to the things you want to tell us. Sometimes we are blind to what is best for us because we've settled for lesser things. Lord, sometimes our hearts are hardened to the needs around us because of who we are and our selfishness. And so, Lord, open up our hearts, open up our minds. We want your Spirit to speak to us, and we want to hear you very, very clearly. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Joshua chapter 1, starting in verse 1, it says this: "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun." Now, there's a first cue right there. Joshua didn't have any parents. Did you know that? He had no parents because he was son of Nun. Okay, do you read that? All right. Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, he says, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river to the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. From the first day that we were told some 5.5 years ago that Kara had a tumor behind her right eye, there was always a sense in me that things are just going to be okay. Things are going to work out. Things are going to be okay. From that first talk with the doctor who told Diana and Kara in the meeting that, oh, we can take out this tumor, it's just going to be a speed bump. Man, I'll tell you what, that phrase has haunted me for 5 years when he said that. But that's what he said. And then they did the surgery. There were still some remnants of the cancer in there, and they had to do a second surgery a little while later. And the doctor, physician who did the surgery, reassured us. He goes, man, I do 3 or 4 of these a week. And they had to go in through the top of her head. He said, I do 3 or 4 of these a week. Very nice guy, not being cocky or anything, but it's just, you know, it was like, oh, everything's going to be okay, right? There was still some cancer. And, you know, it has been hard to watch her go through this daily oral chemo. But in the back of my mind, everything's going to be okay. You know, it's going to last long enough. We're going to find a cure. Everything's going to be all right. Tuesday evening, after we took her to the hospital, I got word from the ICU doctor. Diana and I met with him Tuesday night. And as he came out and spoke with us, he was not encouraging at all. It was very, very bleak. And Wednesday, as Diana and I, we were eating in the cafeteria, and we actually are kicking around the idea of, are we going to have to do a funeral? And then all of a sudden, things are not going to be okay. What do you do when things are not going to be okay? A number of years ago, I was on a trip. And I don't know if I was camping or I was on a retreat or something like that, but I needed a fingernail clipper. You ever have that? You know, my nails had gotten too long, and I just need, you know, when that happens to me, I start doing this, I start doing this, you know, and then bad, and then you just got things on your fingers and it just bugs you. And I realized that's not going to happen again. And so I went out and bought a bunch of fingernail clippers, and now I got fingernail clippers in my toiletry bag. I got one in my car. I got one in my desk at work, right? I'm not going to have that problem anymore. I always have fingernail clippers. I used to get migraines when I would go out. I would pretty often. And so I always knew that if I can just treat that, feel that headache coming on, take a couple migraine pills. A little while later, things are fine. I got pills in both cars. I got pills in my office. I got pills at home. I'm always with my migraine medicine, right? I have an extra pair of glasses in my car should something go wrong. A while back, I was at a retreat center that I go to every year, and I come out, and my tire was flat. I went, oh, how'd that happen? Why'd I get a flat tire? So it's like, then you start thinking of the hassle that you need to get. And you know, how are we going to fix it? I didn't want to put the spare on, stuff like that. So, you know, the guy at the camp came, and he had one of these little portable things like this. I don't know if you've seen these. These are awesome. I got this a couple years ago. This will pump up the air in your tire. This will give you a charge if your battery's dead. And it was like, I discovered this. It was like, wow, this is so awesome. And so now I have this in my car. Wherever I go, right? That's like, you know, it's just so awesome. And I've learned there are some things that I can do in my life to prepare if I find myself in a difficult situation. The same is true for the spiritual and the emotional side of our life as well. As we go through life, we will encounter really challenging situations that'll throw us for a loop that'll knock us into a valley like the shadow of death that the psalmist talks about in Psalm 23. And it spiritually, it can leave us dazed a little bit. It can leave us confused, wondering which way is up, what's next. I'm in this valley, how do I get out? And it just messes with us. In our scripture today, Joshua, no doubt, is in kind of a valley, but he's overwhelmed in the situation that he's found himself in. I don't think Joshua is the kind of guy, he's a real go-getter, and it's like, well, I'm glad Moses is dead. I'm going to do things now, which I think is right. I think he's scared out of his wits because Moses was Moses, right? He led the people out of Egypt. He led people for 40 years who did nothing but complain that things weren't like they used to be. And Joshua's like, I don't want to lead those people, right? But then God says, no, you're the one. You're the one. And I want you to do it. And it reminds him of some of the spiritual essentials that he needs in moving forward. And these are essentials that I think every believer needs. If we're going to travel well through life and not derail our faith, and not lose our faith and not become cynical and disillusioned with God along the way, there are some things that we should not leave behind as we go through life. We need to always have them with us. And the first thing to take with us is found in verses 7 and 8 in our scripture today. He says, God tells Joshua, be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Here's the first thing to always have with us, and that is a healthy daily dose of God's word. A healthy daily dose of God's word. Now, you ever been in a building where you see those red emergency cases where, like, in case of emergency, break glass and then there's a fire alarm behind it, you know? And now they make jokes about them. Like, you can buy them. There's a red box that said, in case of emergency, break glass, and there's a bottle of wine behind it. You know, like, oh, I need that emergency. A lot of people turn to the Bible like that as well. Put that picture up there, Mark. Like, in case of emergency, break glass, grab the Bible. A lot of people do that, which is probably pretty good. I think that's better than turning to wine, actually. But you know what? It's not the best. It's not the best. Because I got to tell you, when Kara was in the emergency room, and then a few days afterwards, I wasn't reading my Bible. I was not. It's funny, Diana laughed at me because when we took her to the emergency room, I actually grabbed a book that I had been reading because, you know, okay, she'll be here. I know time in the emergency room is long. I'd have something to read. And while we were waiting, I tried reading. And you read like a page and you don't remember anything. I think that's the same thing with the Bible, right? You try reading the Bible and I'm kind of going, you can't concentrate. My mind's going everywhere. But I tell you what I did have is I had years of God's word down in my heart, in my mind, and in my memory. I had those promises of God, those truths of Jesus, those truths of Scripture deep down inside that when I needed them, they kind of bubbled to the surface and I remembered them. Even though I was in a terrible situation, I remember over and over in Scripture, God loves me. God loves Kara. God loves our family. He's never going to leave us nor forsake us as we go through this valley. One of the verses that came to mind, I couldn't even remember exactly where it was. I knew that it was in the Psalms. I looked it up later. It was Psalm 42:3. It said this, my tears have been my food day and night. That's what I ate on Tuesday and Wednesday. Ate a lot of tears. I went home Tuesday night, and I let the dog out, and I was, you know, it was like I The dog is Kara's dog. And it's like I felt myself wanting to tell the dog what was going on with Kara. And I just hugged that dog. And I sobbed loudly in my backyard. Just sobbing. But you know what? I remembered that scripture. And what that told me was, you know what? I'm not the first person to go through this. There have been people, other people that have been through, that have cried tears, a lot of tears. And I thought about, you know what? I'm so glad this is in my Bible, because this is speaking to my situation that I'm in. That just bubbled up to me. How many of you in here are on high blood pressure medicine? Now, I don't mean to violate HIPAA laws or anything like that. Right? A lot of us are on high blood pressure medicine. Me too. I'm taking three of them. But here's my next question. Do you only take that blood pressure medicine when you're going to have a stressful time? Like you're going to deal, oh, I got to go to the doctor. I better take my medicine. Or do you take it every day? You know, my doctor tells me that I'm supposed to take it every day in order to regulate my blood pressure. The same thing is true about Scripture, right? We are to get into Scripture every day because it will help regulate our relationship with God. So we're not doing this, right? So we're not doing that. It keeps us spiritually healthy. The writer of Proverbs, talking about God's wisdom, says this in Proverbs chapter 4. He said, "My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body." I like that. Let it penetrate deep. Right? That means when we read God's word, we're not just kind of, okay, done with that chapter. I'm good for the day. Which means we read and we think about and we ponder what God is telling us through that scripture passage. And then look what happens. It gives us life. I think of John 10:10. It brings healing. God's words brings a spiritual life. It brings emotional strength. It gives us hope. It can lead us out of this dark valley that we find ourselves in. One of the most important moves you can make in your life. These are one of the most important moves I made in my physical life, or to put nail clippers in a bag. One of the most important things you can do in your spiritual life is to get in the scriptures every day. Every day. And I want to speak to our young people here today. You know, Ian and what's your name? Annabelle and Peyton. Any piece of advice I could give you, most important would be to get in the scriptures every day. These old people have heard me say it, and they are in a routine, and they're going to do what they're going to do. You guys are young. You guys can be formed. It's the most important thing you can do in your life. I encourage you to do it. I encourage everybody to do it. That first night at the hospital, as Diana and I were sitting in the family waiting room, Kara's Bible study leader had showed up with her daughter and some of the girls in the group. Just to be there. To my surprise, sometime during the day, I got a call from the regional pastor over the pastor, Skip Wallace. Y'all might remember Skip Wallace from, he spoke at our Founders Day back in October. I got a call from him. He kind of leads a group of us. We meet at Wegmans once a month, a little luncheon group. And so he's kind of the pastor. I got a call from him. I didn't know how he found out. And then he said, "Hey, anybody can tell?" I said, "Yeah." He goes, "I'm going to tell the pastors in the group. Anybody else?" I just said, "Yeah, my friend Kenny. Kenny used to be the pastor at Bybee's Road. You know, now he works down at UVA." And so he and Kenny, they showed up that night. And it was so great to have them pray with us. And then Wednesday afternoon, Kenny, who works down at UVA, he showed up and he took me to lunch down at this Greasy Spoon on the corner. I had a big old fat hamburger that probably if it would have been, you know, I probably myself should have been in the hospital the next day after eating that big old fat hamburger, double hamburger with an egg on it. We sat, and I'll tell you what, we sat in this room, and it was lunchtime, but there was nobody else there. And we just sat in this room and talked, and we talked about camping experiences because we have camped together. We talked about trips that we were on. And I can tell you, I start feeling better already. Just talk with him. You know, I was starting to get my legs back, you know? And so that was a blessing. We had read that the church had organized this prayer vigil for Wednesday morning. And, you know, when I first read that, I just kind of went, you know, oh, wow, that's cool. I talked to Tom this week, and he said he hadn't seen that many people out to pray since 9/11. And so I simply say thank you. Just thank you. And I will tell you this, because I stayed overnight with Kara Wednesday night, and at 6 a.m. Thursday morning, the neurologist come in, and he was putting her through her paces, you know, squeeze my fingers and wiggle your toes, and she did that. And I want you to open your eyes. And she opened her eyes on Thursday morning, opened her eyes. I jumped out of that chair right up next to her, you know. And I'm just saying, y'all prayed on Wednesday. That happened on Thursday. All right? So I say thank you. Just saying. Just saying. Verse 2. God tells Joshua, now then you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them. And in this passage, Joshua is not going to go into the promised land alone. He's not some big conqueror. He is leading God's covenant people into the promised land. If you continue reading on in the first chapter, you find out that Joshua then turns to the officers and the leaders of the tribes of the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh, and he starts to give them instructions on what they are supposed to do. The conquest of the promised land is a community project. It's not a solo mission. That's a beautiful picture of the Christian life. God never intended us to follow him alone. The second thing to take on your journey is this: a generous compliment of God's people. A generous compliment of God's people. You may travel through life by yourself, but we're never meant to follow Jesus by ourselves. You don't decide that I like this Jesus thing. I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to become a Christian. Or even if you've been here for a long time, you just say, yeah, I'm a Christian. I follow Jesus. And then you go off and do your own thing. That is not what the faith is. God's people are not orphans. We are part of a family. We are part of a fellowship. We are part of the body of Christ as it's described. And over in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul mentions one phrase numerous times. He says this: one another. One another. Love one another. Encourage one another. Help one another. Bear one another's burdens. Pray for one another, forgive one another, on and on. Over 50 times in his letters, we don't do the Christian life alone. Too many people, when you come into church, they treat church as a pit stop. Had a rough week, I need to go to church this week. I need to get filled up. I need to see my friends. I need to keep singing a couple songs. I hope they sing my favorite song so I feel better. I need to assuage some guilt because of what I've been thinking, what have I been doing this past week. So I better go to church so God sees me, so Pastor Greg can see me. I don't have a report card to God, so we got to watch that. The church and the people of God is so much more, so much more. We are the travel companions that God has given us in this journey through life. Hebrews 10 says this: let us consider how we may spur one another, there's that phrase, how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. What were people doing? They stopped going to church. They stopped hanging out with their brothers and sisters in Christ. And look what he says. Don't do that, but encouraging one another. And so because they were skipping out on church, they weren't there to encourage other people in their walk. He said, this is so important. Don't get into that habit. Because you encourage me and I encourage you. And he says, all the more as you see the day approaching. You know what that day is? That's the day of Jesus' return. You ever look out into the world and just said, man, world's going to hell in a handbasket. We've said that. And it's like, well, Jesus must be coming back soon. You know, whenever you think that, that's when then you ought to be going into church. Because when the world is going crazy, go to church so you can encourage other people. That's what this is about. I look forward to Sunday mornings. I was really looking forward to today. I look forward to Sunday mornings because I'm encouraged. And I get to encourage you. Thank you for encouraging my family these past 2 weeks. And I want to encourage you to pack a generous compliment of God's people for your journey. Can I want you to wrestle with this a little bit. What I don't want is to do the same old, right? In other words, when we say amen and they do the benediction, you just walk out and leave. I want to encourage you to come over to our fellowship time and just hang out, have some goodies, to talk to people. Why? To encourage them and to be encouraged. I would encourage you to go stick around a little further through a Bible study class. Why? Not only you get to learn some scripture, which is helpful, we've already talked about that, but also as you discuss scripture, people are sharing what's going on in their life. You're listening to them. Guess what? You can encourage them. This is what the church is about. This is what the church is about. Tuesday afternoon, Diana had met me at the hospital. Kara was in the emergency room. 8 or 9 people around her. They took us out. They were going to run the tests and everything. So we went out to the emergency room waiting area, UVA. If you've ever been there, there's like 40 or 50 seats. There were a bunch of people, hard to find 2 seats together. We found some together. We sat down, and I was just sitting there trying to read my book. That was a waste, right? And after a while, I'm hearing this guy just on the other side of me talking, you know, and he's being kind of loud and he's talking, he's interacting with some other people and interacting with a little girl that's there. And I'm sitting there a little longer. And I kind of go, I know that voice. I know that voice. And so I looked around and I went, bam! And I slammed down on his shoulder. And he turned around and it was who I thought it was. Thank God. Oh, it had some explaining to do. But it was my friend Steve Nethery, who is a pastor at Spring Hill Baptist Church up by the airport. And he's part of my small group that meets at Wegmans once a month. And so he had already known about Kara's history. And so he kind of asked, well, you know, why are you here? He was here with a family ministering to them. He asked why I was here, and I told him the situation about Kara, and he just went, and he was holding my hand, he was shaking my hand, and he just prayed right then and there for us. And I was like, wow, what are the chances, right? What are the odds? And he was the one that then called Skip Wallace, who then called the other pastors and my friend Kenny. And I just, as I look back in that week, I just kind of go, wow, I love the way God orchestrates things sometimes. I love the way God just shows up in unexpected ways. We look at verse 5. God is telling Joshua, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Verse 9, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Twice there, he's telling Joshua, I'm going to be with you. Because Joshua is scared out of his gourd. He never did anything like this before. God's telling them, I'm going to be with you. Here's the third thing to pack on our journey, and that is an acute awareness of God's presence. An acute awareness of God's presence. We don't simply carry God with us. He goes before us. He walks with us. He never abandons us. But you know what? We forget that. We forget that. We get busy with life. We got family problems we got to deal with. We got health issues. We got stressors that prop up. And we forget. And so it's important that we keep reminders of God's presence. How do we do this? Well, Jesus showed us in Luke chapter 5. He said that the scripture says this, yet the news about Jesus spread all the more so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Jesus was super busy. He was super popular, yet he knew in order to carry out his mission, he needed time to get alone with God. He needed time to get re-energized, healing people, listening to their stories. You don't think he'd get, is it close to burnout? Listening to everybody, seeing the hurt of people. You don't think Jesus at the end of the day was kind of going, oh. You know, he needed this time with his Heavenly Father to get recharged. He needed time to get direction of what to do next. He needed time to be encouraged. And consistent time alone with his Heavenly Father reminded him of his mission and his purpose and encouraged him. Do you think that maybe we need that too? Do you think? I mean, a daily time alone with God. Maybe the best way to think about all this is that when you pack for a trip there, you know, you don't pack certain things because you know and you expect to have a problem, so I'm going to need that, right? You pack things because there's a moment that may arise when you do need it, right? I don't pack this thing in my car and just say, well, I'm going on vacation. I know I'm going to have a flat tire, so I need this. Right? I don't pack my headache medicine because I expect to have a headache. No. We carry these things because life is unpredictable. And I want to be prepared when the unexpected happens. And spiritually, that's exactly what I was reminded of these past few weeks. I didn't know I was going to need Psalm 42:3 that says, my tears have been my food day and night. But it had already been packed away in my heart, and it was nice to remember that. I didn't know how badly I was going to need God's people and need to church. But sitting in that hospital room, in that waiting room, God sent people who sat, people who prayed, people who took me to lunch, people who texted, who emailed, people who gathered to pray at church. And through that, God reminded me, you're not alone. And that's why God told Joshua before the people were crossing the Jordan River, be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Joshua did not know everything that was waiting for him on the other side of the river. Neither do we. We don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. You don't know where the next phone call is going to come. What the diagnosis is going to hear, what it's going to be. You don't know what loss you might experience or what decision you're going to need to make. But you can decide today what you're going to carry with you. So before you continue on this life journey, make sure these three things are in your bag. God's word deep in your heart. God's people, that you know them well enough that they are walking beside you, and an awareness of God's presence to know that wherever the road takes you, you're not going to be alone. There are some things in life. There are some things in life that you can afford to forget. But these things, don't travel without them. Would you bow your heads, please? I just want to give you an opportunity to listen, to have God speak to you. Just listen to God speak to you. What might God be directing you to do next? What are the next steps that God's directing you to take? Almighty God, I thank you that we never have to travel through life alone. Lord, help us to hide your word in our hearts. Help us to stay connected to your people. Help us to remain aware of your presence wherever we go. Lord, when the road is difficult, give us courage. When we are weary, give us strength. And when we are afraid, remind us that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.